Like Programs, which is part of the Department of Historical Resources. And we're pleased to welcome you all to the Florida Folk Festival. There are a lot of people that we need to thank, but we also want to thank the National Endowment for the Arts for help making this possible. And this year we're looking at agricultural traditions in Florida. Agriculture plays a big part in all of our lives, whether we realize it or not. Like they say, the farmer is the man who feeds us all. And if it wasn't for the farmer, we wouldn't be here enjoying ourselves as we are. And we're going to start off this morning with Mr. Danny Sylvester, his wife Ruby, and his daughter Sierra. They're going to be demonstrating some African-American folkways. And, you know, people out in the country don't always enjoy the luxuries and advantages of people in the city. They have to make do with what they have and improvise, and in doing so, they've come up with some pretty good ways of getting along, and some good food on top of that. And Mr. Sylvester is real concerned that these traditions are preserved because we might be needing them someday. And he's got the Renaissance Park out near Mariana, which helps educate the general public about these traditions to ensure that they are passed along from one generation to the next. And he's going to be talking about the different ways, some of the different aspects of their life in the country. And they're going to start off with talking about making fry bread, I think it is. And Dan Sylvester, I'm going to let you tell the folks more about it.
Yeah, we're at Renaissance Park up in Marion, and we have a facility that caters to all of the folk life traditions. We preserve all of the African-American culture, techniques, and others. And the way we do that is by educating the youth. That's the only way we'll be able to keep these traditions alive. And if you had opportunity, you can come to our facility during one of our two festivals that we have, which one is in Labor Day. That's our Labor Day Cultural Festival and our Fall Harvest Festival in December, when we do the pork processing and then the cane syrup cooking. And Mr. Mansfield, you had an opportunity to come to visit the Fall Festival. Did you enjoy it?
I was up there for the Fall Festival, and I'll have to tell you, it was an experience that you ought not to miss. They killed a hog and cut him up so people could, they used everything but the oink. And they also had folks out there demonstrating broom making, different sorts of cooking, some good food. They were making cane syrup, grinding it, and cooking it up. So it's and it's a beautiful setting, too. So when they get around to doing it on Memorial Day or Labor Day or in their Harvest Festival in December, you ought to be there. But you're going to demonstrate making what, hoe cake this morning?
Yes, we're going to do a hoe cake bread. Hot water bread is two or three different names for it. And the ingredients are limited because at that time, the ingredients that they had to deal with was limited. I heard one lady talking about pit bread, and it's a whole lot of different techniques they use, and everybody had their own special technique. There was no yeast. In fact, eggs were sort of limited. So the ingredients they'll be using today is cornmeal that we used to grind at the grits mill, and preferably the fine grade would be good. And salt and water. With the right texture, you can come up with a pretty taste of bread, for especially for eating with vegetables, you know. And today we have Ruby here with me and her daughter Sierra. Her grandmother taught her how to make it, and now she's teaching her daughter how to make the fried bread. And that's the only way we can pass these traditions down, because once they're gone, they're gone. So Mansfield, I'm gonna get over here and help them with the fire and everything, because that fire has to be the right temperature too. Usually we cook on an open fire, but today, since we're in the city, we're gonna bring it in there high tech, and the temperature has to be just right.
That's right. Mr. Sylvester talked about the importance of passing these traditions on, and I believe it was Alex Haley that said every time an old person passes away, it's like a library burning down because all the information that's gone with them. So he's doing a real good job to pass that information on to the younger generation. As that's cooking oil, I believe. Though it looks like, you might think it's pickle juice because it's in a pickle jar. Now, what kind of soybean oil? Now, what kind of cooking oil would they or grease would they use in older days?
Hog lard.
I don't reckon the cardiologist would recommend using hog lard this day and time.
They lived a whole lot longer back then.
I expect they worked a little bit harder than we do these days, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
okay. Yeah, well, your water needs to be boiling hot, and your oil, we didn't do the thermometer thing, so what we would do is we just watch it, and it'll have a certain movement to it when it was hot enough for you to drop your cornbread into it. So it takes the skillet a little while to get hot.
I call that skillet Big Bertha.
Now, you said you had to, Miss Sylvester, you said you learned that the oil was hot enough by watching it. What does it do? What does it look like?
She would take her skillet up, and it would roll back. I have to show you when it's ready. It's not quite ready yet. It's not ready yet.
But it's a visual cue. All right. Sure. I think you'd rather watch them than me. Now, do you measure the cornmeal precisely or just eyeball it?
It's a visual thing.
Okay. So you want to stir the cornmeal from the bottom. So you don't use an electric mixer on that. Okay. Okay. So does it matter how strong you mix the cornmeal? Now, about how long do you cook these? Okay, so again, it's a visual cue rather than any sort of recipe. So that just talks about the importance of traditional learning. You learn by seeing and doing rather than reading. So they get kind of brown on the bottom, and then you... So they get to be sort of a light brown before you turn them. Kind of doughy in the center. So about how long does it take for them to get that brown? Okay. Okay. So you wouldn't describe this as fast food? So you drain them on a paper towel after they cook.
Now, I don't remember my grandmother draining hers. I think we just had the lard and all. But.
Well, some would say that adds to the flavor. Now, Mr. Sylvester is going to be demonstrating cooking cracklings tomorrow, and they're going to be here throughout the festival talking about African-American rural folk life, so be sure to take advantage of that. They've got some samples up here, if y'all. They're hot, so be careful.